Christians have the blessed assurance that our Lord and Savior is with us and our salvation is eternal. On today's broadcast titled, Death, the Reason for Easter Sunday, recorded on Apostolic Square in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Bishop Omega presents a sermon which delves into the underlying reason for this day of religious observance, emphasizing six important facts for your consideration. The text begins in the book of John, 13th chapter. The principal text begins in the book of John, 14th chapter, 15th verse.
As we get to today's message, we're going to begin with a review. I'm in John, the 14th chapter today. You all know that one. You can't come to the Father except through Jesus. But I want to start at the 15th verse, but in order to give a proper background, I'm going to start a little before that. And I'd like to go back as far as the 13th chapter and just overview, where Jesus, in an effort to teach what true greatness is not having a title, it's not being called this or that or people opening doors. True greatness is serving others. Jesus himself gets up because none of the others did it. I don't want to get died down in the 13th, but I just want to bring you up to where I'm going to be today. And because, you know, it was a custom to clean the feet of people who were considered a position, especially if they've been walking in the dusty streets of Jerusalem or in that part of the world, and with your sandals, sand would get under your toenails and then your, you know, cracks and crevices of your feet. So to honor the person or someone else, you would get up and just wash their feet. None of the disciples did that. They didn't even do it for Jesus. So Jesus, and don't forget, they hadn't long since been talking about who's the greatest among us. I wonder who's going to be the top elder here? Who's going to be top minister? Who's going to be top? Jesus, in an effort to show them what true greatness is, please remember this. Whenever you get positions, and I don't care whether you're a school teacher, it's to serve. That's what God looks at as honorable, because the Lord himself came from heaven and did that. And he says, if I did it, what do you think you should do? So since none of them did it, Jesus gets up himself, takes water, puts a towel around, starts washing feet. He's showing us that if he can humble himself enough and show you what true leadership service is, that's what true leadership is, to service, and share love with others. If he can do it, don't you think the obvious implication is, what do you think you ought to be doing? And it irks me to know not one, and I'm sure it gets God too, I know it does, when people feign or fake humility. You know when someone is really humble and when they're really not, right? I'm not supposed to be doing this, but I'll do it for you anyway. No, say no, no, just do it and shh. Real service is like letting someone in front of you, opening the door, and not feeling anything but that's, I did it for Jesus. That's true service, that's true greatness. And only the secure can do that. Jesus could do it because he knew who he was. He knew, I'm from heaven, I'm God's son, I am God in the flesh. So what is it to him to serve and show by example this is how you should be? So coming off of the washing of the feet, and we'll go to John 13, 16, I'm just referencing it, where Jesus essentially says, if I did it, what do you think you all should be doing? Just do the service, serve others. That's true greatness. I want to begin here in John 14. Today our text is John 14, 15 through 31. But in an effort to give you a consistency and a background, we're going to begin at John 14, 1. And you all know this, you've heard it perhaps all your lives.
Let not your heart be troubled, John 14, 1. You believe in God, believe also in me.
Here's what Jesus just said. Don't worry about a thing. I know you already believe in God, but you can have faith to believe in me too. Amen. You hear me? Are you hearing me? This is what he's saying. I'm going to keep moving along so we can get to the main text.
Mm-hmm. In my Father's house are many mansions.
There's a lot of room in my Father's house for each of you. Where is the Father's house? All of the universe. That's the Father's house. And don't think of mansions as something you see in Beverly Hills. When he says mansions, he means there's a room, there's space for you. You're going to have your space. Don't worry about it. In my Father's house is room for everybody.
Amen.
The universe is limitless. So that's what he's saying, yes?
If it were not so, I would have told you.
Jesus just said, I don't lie. You see, he's going to read the classic. I'm going to say it the way you speak today. I don't lie to you. What I just said is true. Carry on.
I go to prepare a place for you.
I have to go away and get this place ready. Isn't that something? Now, we know in eternity it's already ready. But he's speaking in time to people in time.
Yes.
Are you with me there? This is like a hard but he's saying, I have to go and prepare a place for you. Because in terms of time, it wasn't done yet. In terms of eternality, it's been done. Hard concept. Moving on.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again.
Now, if I go away, I'm not going to leave you. I'll come again. I'll be back. You'll see me. Yes.
And receive you unto myself.
And I'll get you myself. Yes. I'm not going to send somebody else for you. I'll come back and get you myself.
Amen.
Yes.
That where I am.
And the reason I'm going to get you myself, I want you to stay with me.
Yes, sir. There ye may be
forever.
Also.
Mm-hmm. Are you? This is what he's saying to you. I'm going to come back and get you myself so I can keep you with me.
Yes, sir.
For how long, Lord? For eternity.
Yes.
We'll get to that in a minute, though.
And whither I go, ye know.
And where I go, you know.
And the way ye know.
And the way he's about to tell you is through him.
Amen.
He's going to the Father. How do you get there? Read on, please. Thomas asks.
Lord, we know not whither thou goest.
We don't know where you're going.
And how can we know the way?
How can we know the way? Jesus says.
I am the way.
That's it. I'm the way.
Amen.
See, it's that simple. I am the way.
The truth and the life.
Yes.
No man.
Now, listen to this statement right here. This next statement, I've been over it before, but this next statement makes it clear. Any other religion claiming to be it can't be. There's only one way to be saved, to the Father, to heaven. He says, read on, please.
No man.
No one.
Cometh unto the Father.
Can get to heaven or to be saved.
But by me.
Unless you come through me.
Amen.
Jesus is saying, you want to get to heaven, you want to be saved, you have to do it my way. He's not being egotistical, he's just telling you the truth. That's the only way to be saved. So when people they get this so-called enlightenment and they find these other religions, these esoteric religious belief systems, and they think it's very sophisticated. They get $2 or $3 in their pocket, and then everybody becomes a Buddhist and a Hindu and all this. Wow, you're deep. Jesus just said, there's no way, no way. You can fool yourself all you want. There's no way to be saved except through the belief, the full and perfect belief in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Trusting in him, yes.
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 If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father
that
also.
Makes it clear right there. Here. Anyone that does not acknowledge Jesus fully for who he is, yes. No matter what they say, no matter how many charitable organizations they run and build, no matter how many sick people they help heal, no matter how many hospitals, they don't know God.
Amen.
That's what that line says. Let's read it again. I want you to hear this. Some of your relatives may have turned to this faith or this faith, and some of you are feeling, oh, my Lord, what have they done? I'll tell you what they've done. They've messed up. Because Jesus, whom I believe is the truth, makes it very clear. If they had known me.
Yes.
Let me put it in plain English today. You don't know God unless you recognize who I am.
Amen.
That's what he just said.
Yes, sir.
Jesus put it this way. If they had known me.
They would have known my Father also.
You would have known God too.
And from henceforth, ye know him. And have seen him.
And now, since you, he's talking to those around him and those of us that now believe. Now, since you've been exposed to me, you've been exposed to the Father. Known him, seen him. He doesn't mean to have seen with the human eye. Nobody there with Jesus saw God the Father. Amen. But didn't he say, you've seen me?
Yes, sir.
He's meaning to know in an intimate way. Right? If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and you have seen him. And they're sitting there going, we've seen the Father? Jesus' point is, everything about me is what the Father is.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
His compassion, his forgiving over and over, his healing, his love, everything about him, his way, his mercy, his acceptance, everything about him. He's saying, I'm not doing anything the Father's not directly telling me, do this, yes, do that, sir. Do this. And before we even get to it, let me put this in your heads too. Before we get to it, Jesus says, the one who does the sending is greater than the one that is sent. Who sent Jesus?
God the Father.
Who sent the Holy Ghost? God the Father sent the Holy Ghost at whose request? So do you see how the triune Godhead has, they are separate but have their own individual functions. And they're one, he's one God. The Bible says this. You'll see in a minute when he says, and we will make our abode in him. This is the Bible. How can you argue and correct the Bible? Because of a lack of understanding. We have to understand the ignorance of saying the word Trinity is not even in the Bible. Neither is the word rapture, but aren't you going to be caught up one day? Well, the Greek word is rapture. I've heard so-called ministers, and I think they're well-intentioned, but Peter made it clear that people who are unlearned,
yes,
that's just an ancient way of saying uneducated, doesn't mean you have to have letters behind your name, PhD, XYZ, LYY. No, to believe, but to teach and preach the word, you have to rightly, correctly interpret the word of God. We have to understand the ignorance of saying the word Trinity is not even the Bible. It's an abomination, Trinity, Trinity. God says himself, this is how I am. I'm Father, Son, Holy Ghost, one.
John 14:8.
Now Philip interrupts him.
Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us.
He says, show us the Father, Jesus, and that'll be enough, yes?
Jesus said, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip?
Have I been this long time with you, and you still don't realize who I am, Philip? Mm. Yes?
He that hath seen me...
He that has been exposed to me...
Hath seen the Father.
Has been exposed to the Father.
Amen.
Now, you saw the flesh of Jesus, but everything about him was encountering, listening to, touching the Father. Everything about Jesus was the Father. He did nothing that the Father didn't directly tell him to do. He didn't say one word, not one syntax, not one thing came from him that wasn't directly representative of the Father. That's what he means. And he's saying, Philip, you can't see that. He's even more one than you and your own son, or you and your, we are separate individuals, my son and I. Right? He came from me. He came from us, but he's not as one as God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are. But yet, they are separate entities, and we'll get to that in a minute when we get down to 15 and 16. Carry on.
He that hath seen me hath seen the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?
When Jesus says, now how can you say that? Jesus' point is, Philip, you can't be that daft. He's saying in a polite way. But it is a sort of reprimand. How can you say, show me the Father? Who do you think you've been encountering all this time? The representation of the Father in the form of the Son. But everything about me is the Father to you. That's what Jesus is saying to Philip. Yes?
Believest thou not that I am in the Father?
Don't you believe that I'm in the Father?
And the Father in me?
Don't you believe that in me is the Father? Yes?
The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself.
That's what I just... Even what I'm saying to you, I didn't choose to say it. Mm. I'm mouthing what the Father told me to say.
Amen.
Everything. Yes?
The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works.
But the Father that dwells in me, he's making me do what I do. He doeth the work. Everything that I do, he's making me do it. When I walk right and not left, the Father told me to walk right and not left. I didn't make any decisions ever on my own. That's what he's trying to show Philip, how much he and the Father are one. He didn't think a thought that the Father didn't have him think. Everything about him was from the Father.
Amen.
Everything he did was the Father's command, because he was absolutely and completely obedient to the Father. So he's showing the oneness of himself and the Father.
Yes, sir.
Right? All right.
John 14:11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else Believe me for the very work's sake.
If it's hard for you to believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, just check out what I've been doing. Who have you seen walk on water? We've seen Peter when I made him. Who have you seen raise the dead after 4 days and the body's begun to decay? Elijah raised the dead. Wasn't 4 days dead. Do you see what he's saying? If you can't believe, maybe it's a hard concept. I don't know what that means, the Father in you, you in the Father. Jesus said, just check out what I've done.
Amen.
Who have you seen stand in the middle of a storm and say, sit down? And all the waves just go, peace be still, you know. And all the waves just go, shh. Jesus is saying, who have you seen command nature? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Who have you seen standing on the side of a mountain with Moses, who's been dead? Elijah, who went on up. Who have you seen do this? And then when you look back up, it was I alone. Jesus said, who have you seen do this? Just believe me for what you've seen.
Amen.
He's talking to those around him. It gets better. It gets better. Read on, please.
Verily, verily, I say unto you.
Most assuredly, I say to you.
He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father.
Now, everyone says, greater works? What is greater than raising someone from? He didn't mean that you're going to do. First of all, you can do nothing without him, so anything you're going to do, it's going to be him doing it. But when he says greater works, Jesus' ministry was in Judea. You, church community, you will do greater works. You will reach people in Indonesia. You will reach many more people. You will build hospitals. You will do many more works than I've ever done. He doesn't mean greater, better. He means more. Understand that. Who can do something better than Jesus? So, see, here's where the context has to be understood. So why would he be saying that? And if he's the one empowering you, isn't it really him doing it anyway?
That's right. Amen.
We'll get to that too when he says the I and you, you and me. He says, I'm in the Father, I and you, you and me. Meaning, when you are doing something, it's I that's in you doing it.
Yes, sir.
And when he says, I and the Father, if you're in him and he's in the Father, where's that put you? In the Father. You're in God's family. I'm telling you, what the Lord is saying here, you have to break down verse by verse, and we didn't even get to the meat of it yet. Yes, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father.
And whatsoever?
That phrase before, because I go to the Father, is crucial. I said the reason for Easter Sunday. Someone will say, well, it was to show he defeated death and came back from the, yes, why? Why did he defeat death? Why did he come back from the dead? That we'll get to. Yes?
Verse 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name.
And by the way, whatever it is you ask with my approval,
yes,
in my name means with my authority. So let's put it another way. Anything you ask that I already want done.
Yes.
That's what he's saying. And that's where people didn't understand in my name. That's where a lot of them got it wrong. You got to baptize in the name of Jesus Christ by the authority of. I've used this over and over. Haven't you even seen in your readings and in movies and you'll see someone come to the gate and say, open the gates in the name of the king. What does that mean? By the authority of the king, according to what the king wants, the king's will. That's what in my name means. But people that are unlearned think that it means you have to literally say, Jesus. Because Paul tells us they were baptized in the name of the Lord. We know which Lord he was talking about. Yes. Jesus.
Amen.
But when your understanding is rudimentary or elementary or basic, you take things out of context and think words can only have one meaning. And language is so rich, and I've often used, and I like to use this one because it's very clear, the word presently in English. Deacon Jones, you say, come here, Bishop. I say, I'll be there presently. That can either mean I'm coming right now or I'm coming soon. It depends on the context. It does, if you looked it up. The word presently, see, some people think it only means right now, you said presently. But in English, the definition also can mean I'll be there shortly.
That's right.
So when you take words out of context or you don't understand, and this is not a put down, I hate when I say this because it sounds like he's throwing off. I'm not throwing off on anyone, but you have to understand the word.
13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do.
Whatever you ask that I already want done, that I will do.
That the Father may be glorified in the Son.
That the Father may get some glory through me.
Amen.
That's what Jesus is saying, yes?
14, if ye shall ask anything in my name.
If you ask anything that I already want.
I will do it.
I'll do it. Please understand that's what he's saying. He doesn't mean if you say tomorrow, Lord, please let me hit that lottery. Please, Jesus, let me hit that lottery. He didn't want you to. That's why you didn't. Had he wanted you to, you would have. You understand the difference? People say, it says whatever you ask. But they ignore the in my name, according to his will. According, and what does that mean, according to his will? According to what he wants, with his authority, in my name. That's why he says whatever. And people who don't understand that say, see, that Christian faith, whatever you ask. Didn't you ask that your mother be healed? Why did she die? And didn't you say in the name of Jesus Christ? Why did she die? Because it's not God's will that everyone should live Amen. Without dying. In fact, complete opposite, it's appointed unto man once.
Yes, sir.
It's appointed unto man once,
to die.
And then
the judgment.
Amen. So the natural order of things is that human beings will all die. You will stop this existence. I know you're going to bring up Enoch and you're going to bring up Elijah who were taking in the whirlwind, but there are always exceptions to his rule. But they did end this life as we know it in the natural form. Just like saints who shall be raptured. They go from life to life. Some will be walking around and never taste death the way we, some of us may. Because I expect to be raptured at any moment. Now we get to the text, 15.
If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
Now stop right there. Now I have six important facts, for those of you that take notes, six important facts about the Holy Ghost. Jesus just said in those verses, six. And I want you to key in on these particular words, or in some cases phrases, that he said in that little, Jesus was brilliant, in those condensed paragraphs right there, he said so much. Here's the first fact about the Holy Ghost that Jesus just revealed. First of all, key in on the word give. Read again, please.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
First of all, there you are, is a proof of who really loves Jesus, who habitually keeps the Lord's word. Habitually. Now, look at this, verse 16.
And I will pray the Father.
I will ask the Father.
And he shall give you
He will give. Stop right there. Focus on that word give, right? You can write that down for those that take notes. He's going to gift you something. Where there does he say you have to earn anything? Didn't you just hear what he said? First of all, keep my commandments to prove that you are mine. Now, here's what's going to happen. Here's the six different things the Holy Ghost is going to do here in his ministry. The Father's going to gift it to you. G-I-F-T. Gift or give. So he's just giving it. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. He's going to gift you this. That's the first thing you see the Holy Ghost does. The first fact, I should say, about the Holy Ghost. It is a gift. It is a gift, right? That's one word you want to write down. Our next key word is, he's going to give you
another.
Another. Stop right there. In the Greek, the word another is properly translated another of the same kind. Don't agree with me. Doubt me. Please. And look it up. See, but someone will say, in English, it just means another. No, it means another of the same kind. The Holy Ghost is a separate entity of from Jesus. But God is a spirit, yet he sends out his spirit. He's a separate entity from God the Father, but of the same kind. It's a concept only relevant here. This is part of the mystery of God. It's so fantastic that we have to break it down like this. First of all, it's a gift. It's given. You didn't earn it. Secondly, it's another. The most uneducated person can't argue that the word there is another. But God is one. Yes, now you're catching up. But it's another of the same kind. That's the second fact about the Holy Ghost that Jesus says here. Another. He's not only another of the same kind. The Father has a function, the Son has a function, and the Holy Ghost has a function. The third word now. Let's look at the third word. Now, this is something very interesting too. He said, I will pray the Father, I'll ask the Father, and he will give. So you're going to be gifted something, another, yes. Another of the same kind. The Comforter, one that'll take care of you. But that's not the word I want you to focus on now. And what will he do? He'll be a temporary presence. He will abide.
Amen.
He will stay. Let me tell you something, saints. You can never get more of the Holy Ghost. Do you understand what I'm saying? Once you have him, you have him. Amen. Now, you can let him use you more and more, but you can never get more of the Holy Ghost. Jesus just said right here, he will stay with you.
Yes. Amen.
You can't get filled and then filled again and then lose it and get filled again. He said this. It's the third word I want you to focus in on. Give, another, stay, abide. That means once that Holy Ghost is in you, he can't leave you. Jesus said this, and I'll tell you this. I want you to keep your ears and eyes open for the indicators of who the Holy Ghost is really in. It's those who progressively, through loving obedience, have progressive intimacy, that is to say, you are constantly becoming more and more obedient to him, not sinning with impunity. You're constantly becoming more loving, more forgiving, more long-suffering, more patient, more this. You're constantly doing it. It's an ever-growing thing. Amen. Jesus says this chapter right here is replete with, it's those who keep my word. What is he saying? It's those who obey. It's those who do what I say. They are the ones showing that they are saved. Amen. And what is the fourth thing that is brought out here? He is the Spirit of truth.
Amen.
So he's the one that reveals truth. The Holy Ghost is the one that reveals to us who Jesus is. Amen. Did you know that? That's the primary function of the Holy Ghost. The primary function of the Holy Ghost is not tongues. It's not. People like to think it is. The primary function of the Holy Ghost is to make the believer aware of who Jesus really is. See, anyone can say it. No one can truly believe it unless the Holy Ghost taught you.
You are listening to a message titled, Death, the Reason for Easter Sunday, preached by His Eminence, Bishop Omega, from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, located at 701 South 22nd Street, Apostolic Square, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Please mail all correspondence to 701 South 22nd Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19146. Or email your communication to preacher701@cljcoaf.org. To order sermons, CDs, and DVDs, visit our website at www.701recordsshop.com. We now rejoin this message.
That's the fourth thing. He's a revealer of truth. Now look at the fifth thing. Verse 17.
Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive.
This resource is unavailable to the world. Stay with me. That's fancy language. This resource, what resource? The Holy Ghost. The world can't get it. So for all of you, or those who are listening, that do not truly, really in your heart believe that Jesus is Savior, He's Lord, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus has wiped away your sin. All those that do not, through loving obedience, practice His word every day and try to progressively become more intimate with the Lord, that's proof that you're saved. It is. Who am I proving it to? Nobody. No, you don't have to prove it to human beings, that is to say, the Lord knows. Because those of us who are really saved every day strive to be more and more and more like Jesus. That is one solid proof that you are His. Those who take, I know I'm saved. I don't get, yes, what he says. All right. That person's proving they're not saved. Listen, this doesn't mean that you won't mess up. We all will mess up and make mistakes. But who repents and seriously, Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me to get over that weakness of mine. And I'm not trying to make excuses for it, Lord. I confess my sin. This resource, the Holy Ghost, this is the fifth thing, it's unavailable to the world. And the reason I stayed on this for a minute, because people tend to think the world is only people outside of the church building, outside of the church roster. No, there's some world sitting in here. I wish there weren't, but didn't Jesus say let them grow together?
Matthew 13:30, let them both grow together into the harvest, and in time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in the bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat.
I would dare argue that in every church building there's some tare. Mm-hmm. Really, there's some world. You think it's not? Now, you may say, well, this one acts like that. No, there are some who really do not believe the word, because the Lord makes it very clear, he that loves me keeps my word.
Amen.
And some people have no intention of keeping his word. Now, I have to come over this one again, because some people get offended. If you are penitent, in your heart, you're repentant of your weakness, whatever it is. It could be short-tempered, it could be hot-headedness, whatever you all have. It could be any kind of sin, unforgiveness, not lack of long-suffering, not patience, whatever it is, unloving. Acknowledge it, though. Repent of it. Ask for strength to fight it. But when you, in your heart, you've dismissed it as, that's just the way I am. You are part of the world, and the resource of the Holy Ghost is not available to you. You think it is. You want to feel good and think it is. The Word is teaching you here. I'll tell you this. The reason the Lord came on up on Resurrection Sunday, the reason for Easter, was that the Lord could have family with him in eternity. He wanted us for some reason, wretches though we are. He wanted us, and he came on up out of the tomb. Another thing, he didn't just come up out of the tomb and was resurrected, but he had to go on away and send another, because the Jesus, the physical Jesus himself, could not be in Australia at the same time he's in Philadelphia. So he says, I know how to save many and many, many, many of you. The Father already had a plan. Time in memoriam, going back, Father had a plan. That when you all mess up, he'd send me. I'll go do my thing on the cross and atone for all of you that would believe. But he's going to send another of the same kind that I can have personal relationship with each one of you. From Australia to Alaska to California to Chile to Argentina, to Middle East, Africa. He can be with us all through agency of the Holy Ghost. That's the reason for Easter Sunday. That's why he came up out of the tomb and had to go away. He stayed here 40 days to show those that were walking with him, see, I did come back. And notice he didn't show himself to the world at all. No unbeliever saw him after the resurrection. Only believers. And how do we see him now? By agency of the Holy Ghost. That's how we see, know, relate to him. And it's the Holy Ghost that makes Jesus real to believers. And I'll tell you something. If you don't feel it, if you don't more than feel it, if you don't know it, let me tell you something very plainly. The Holy Ghost hasn't taught you yet. See, you need a lesson. You need a sit-down lesson with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost teaches. And when you in your mind say, I got it, I get it. I get it. It is Jesus, and that presence in me. We're going to get to some more good stuff, I'm telling you. But that presence of the Lord is made real to you because he went away and sent another of the same kind. Amen. Now look at the sixth thing, the sixth fact about the Holy Ghost. He says, the world cannot receive it because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you. Oh. So that resource that we get is from within. It's available from within. See, we tend to think, like people say, oh, the Holy Ghost came on her and she caught the Spirit. You've heard that expression, right? Believers have it in them already. So this resource, here's the sixth thing, a fact about the Holy Ghost. It's in you, and when you pull on it, when you take from it, you're taking from what's already in you. Because it was gifted you when the moment you believed fully in Jesus. And I mean for his lordship, for salvation, for his atoning blood, his justification, wiping your slate clean, his sanctifying you, putting you aside, separate from the world. That resource that's not available to the world is available to you, but from within. You don't have to you don't have to ask for more of the Holy Ghost. You have it already.
Amen.
Believers have it. And that is a distinguishing factor between true believers and people who claim to be believers. He's the revealer of truth. And it's unavailable to the world, this resource. And this resource is available to believers from within.
Amen.
All of that is said within verses 15 through 17.
Yes, sir.
Then I like the way he goes at 18. He says, listen, he already said he's going to leave you a comforter or a helper or a strengthener. All those words can be translated for comforter. It's the strengthener, the helper, the comforter. What does a parent do? A parent comforts you. So here the translation is at verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as children without parents. I will come to you. Well, how will you come to us, Jesus? By agency of the Holy Ghost, because I have to go away. But Jesus is saying, you know, this must have really perplexed or puzzled the disciples listening to him. He says, I'm going away, but I'm leaving you another. Here's what he's not saying. I'm leaving you another that you don't know. That's like someone telling you today, I'm going away, but I'm leaving aunt you never met, but she'll take care of you. She'll be all right. You would go, huh? You said, I never met her. But she'll love you. She'll comfort you. You say, but we're used to you, Mom. Wouldn't you prefer your mother? Who wouldn't, right? But Jesus' point is, the one that I'm leaving you is me. So you right now, you have anxiety, you have some angst about the whole situation because you've never met him. But after Pentecost, not only those that were there, even today, 2,000 years later, he will make me real to you because it is the same of another kind.
Amen.
And that's how I'll be with you. So Jesus was telling them, I know, let me amplify, I know you all never met the Holy Ghost before. You've heard about him. Perhaps you've seen him work. But until I go away, he can't come. That's another thing. While Jesus was here, Jesus kept them. Didn't he say that? While I was here, I kept you. But now I'm going away, so I'm leaving you another. When Jesus was here and they lost faith, what did he do? He encouraged them. When Jesus was here and they messed up, what did he do? He straightened them out. Jesus is not here now in that form. So what did he do? He left us himself in another form that when you get discouraged, the Holy Ghost will do what Jesus did to Simon and the others that were around him then. But Jesus says, I won't be here to do it in this form, but I'm going to send you another of the same kind. So when you're feeling discouraged, remember how I encouraged you all? He'll be here to do the same thing. And he'll do it from within. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. About this, he's meant speaking of the Holy Ghost. But I'm not going to leave you like orphans. Jesus, I'm going to leave someone to comfort you. So when you're feeling lonely, you'll, in a sense, you'll have arms around. Not in a sense, you will have arms around you. You have a protective hedge. You have someone to rock you and hold you, sing to you at night. I'm telling the truth, comfort you. Comfort. What does a mother do to the child? I love the way he puts this. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you'll see me. Now, he was talking to them then and to us now. You'll see me, saying, after the resurrection, for 40 days they did see him. How is he speaking to us? By agency of the Holy Ghost. You will see slash know me.
Amen.
None of us here has seen Jesus with these eyes that are in our heads. But you can't tell me I haven't seen him. When you're feeling poor in spirit, I've seen him. When I needed healing, I've seen him. when I didn't realize he was protecting me. I've seen him. I know him. But you will see me. The world won't. This resource is not available to them. It's available to us. Amen. It's available to we believers. And here, I like this. Because I live,
yes, you shall live also.
What does he mean by that? You could say, we're already living. That's not what he meant. He meant, because I did come up on Easter Sunday morning, and because I'm still alive right now, you will have a new vitality, a new excitement about life. Because I live, you shall live. We know, Jesus says, I know you're already living, but there's a new excitement about life now. You understand what he's saying? He's saying we have to learn how to read through these things and look up the origins of the word, the etymology of the word of vitality. Life, anew. He's saying, because I live, you're going to have new life. Because I'm sending you another of the same kind. Something that's going to make you a different person. Didn't it say a new creature? You're a new creation. But because I'm alive, and by the way, Jesus isn't here today. He's alive. He's on the throne in heaven with God. He's in here today. He's in each and every one of us that believes. Right now. Thank God for Easter Sunday. Because I live, you will live also. I love that. You'll have a new vitality. I love that. This is why he had to go away. Yes? Where do we leave off? Verse 20.
John 14, 20. And that day ye shall know that I am in my
Father. In that day. What day, Jesus? Pentecost and beyond. That's what he's talking about. At that day. Which day? The day I send another of the same kind.
Yes.
Not to be a temporary presence here and there. Every true believer will have him permanently.
Yes, sir. Verse 20. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you.
Do you see how that works? If I'm in the Father, he says, and you in me, and I in you.
Amen.
Jesus is saying you're going to have a new outlook on life now because I'm going to be in you.
Amen.
I love that. And if he's going to be in you, that's a way of him providing us access to a vital life we've never experienced before. Before this time, he hadn't left the Holy Ghost yet. And when they were doing things, he was empowering them. Go do this, go do that. But now that he's in the Father, and we're in him and he's in us, everything we do now glorifies the Father by him. There's a new excitement about life. Now, I like this one. Judas interrupts him. Well, let's go and finish reading verse 21.
He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me.
Stop right there. Didn't I say this chapter is replete with references to Jesus saying, those that do my word are the ones that truly belong to me. In other words, saved. So, I want to make this very clear. When you are not practicing what Jesus said, you are telling, not just us, you're telling yourself, I'm not saved. He who loves me will be loved by my Father.
And I will love him and will manifest myself to him.
And I'll show him who I really am through the Holy Ghost. Yes? Now look, Judas interrupts him now. When it says not Iscariot, this just means there was another disciple named Judas. It was a very common name. It's like the name George today. It was a common name, so this is not Judas. Don't forget, Judas Iscariot was already dismissed. Go do what you have to do. Go out into darkness and do darkness.
Yes.
And notice how the tenor of the conversation changed after Judas left the room. He started talking all this, I and you and me. I'm not talking to you, Judas. You're with Satan. You're with the world. But notice he got more intimate. He started giving these intimate promises of closeness after Judas left. I want you, when you're on your own, read how the whole tenor changes after Judas has left the room and gone out into the darkness to do wickedly. But Judas, not Iscariot, said to him,
Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?
And what does he say?
If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him.
Stop. How will you show us yourself and not show yourself to the world, Jesus? Jesus says right here, by those who obey me. He says it right here. He says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words. Mm-hmm. That will be proof that I'm with you. And my Father will love him. And what?
And we will come.
Stop right there. Did you see the word we?
Yes, sir.
And we will come to him. And what will you do, Jesus?
And make our abode.
We'll set up shop
with him.
In you. Did you see that? Verse 25.
These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you.
These things I said to you while I'm still here present with you. Now, what will the Spirit do when it comes?
But
look at between verses 26 and 28.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you.
Read on.
Peace I leave with you.
That's what I jumped to earlier.
My peace I give unto you.
Mm-hmm.
Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
All right, let's go over this again. Verse 26. But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send because I asked him to, by my authority in my name,
yes,
he will teach you all things.
Amen.
And bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Why did he say that? And will bring to remembrance all things I have said to you. Because, and this is something that I dare say our predecessors did not fully grasp. When Jesus was walking around doing his ministry, no one was walking around saying, he said what? They didn't begin to write the Gospels until at least 10 years after Jesus had gone up. Let's deal with this fact right here. So when they use words like, is the Son of God, they didn't begin to write until at least 10 years after he had gone up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think the Holy Ghost knows how to conjugate the verb to be?
Amen.
If he wanted to say was, he would have said was.
That's right. Amen.
But he said is. And let us not forget this. John, whose gospel we're reading today, he didn't write his until 40 to 50 years after.
Amen.
The other three gospels, about 10 or so after. So 40 or 50 years later, old statesman, elder statesman John, bearded John, old John, you don't think he knew the difference between is and was? So when it says is the Son of God, is speaking present. You understand what I mean by conjugating the verb to be? I am, you are, he is, she is. If he wanted to say he was, he would have said he was the Son of God.
Amen.
When the fellow at the cross said, truly this was the Son of God, he wasn't speaking and no longer is. He didn't have an understanding yet, that centurion. But he's saying there was something different about this man. This was truly the Son of God. He didn't know about resurrection power. He didn't know about all that. This man is just saying, I dare argue, his possible conversion. He was saying, this is different from any other human being ever. But the Gospels made it clear about Jesus. Now, let's break this down again. Whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance the things I have said to you. Teach you all things. Do you know what those other epistles in the New Testament are for? Is to teach us all about what Jesus was about. James, the other writers, Peter, John, the author of Hebrews, all the epistles were given by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, we know Paul had a personal one-on-one with Jesus, but even he was inspired by and taught by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost,
amen,
will teach you all things. And when it says bring to remembrance, because, you know, everyone says, the critics always say, you can't rely on the Gospels. They were written so much longer after Jesus died. Jesus just said that the Holy Ghost will bring to remembrance. Let me tell you something. I want you to think about this seriously. If NASA, the FBI, Homeland Security, if they have computers that can call back things that have been deleted and bring back to me, you think God can't? Is there anything to offer? God said, here's what happened. That day when Jesus was walking through the field and you all were picking those things that eating and the Pharisees criticized you all, he says the Holy Ghost is going to bring back everything that Jesus said to you. Every word, that every comma, every tittle, every dot, every tittle, the Holy Ghost will bring it back to you.
Yes, sir.
This is what Jesus is promising them. He says, God has that power. The Holy Ghost is going to bring it back to your memory. Some of you right now can't remember what 5 years ago. You can't remember what happened 5 months ago. Listen, let me show you how bad human memory is. I often use, you get to the top of the stairs and say, what did I come up here for? Now, you're going to remember 40, 50 years ago, John and Matthew and Luke and the others, 10 years after at least, before they started writing the Gospels. Who do you think brought it back to memory? Jesus just said he will bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you.
Amen.
Because human memory is not reliable. Yes?
Verse 28, ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for the Father is greater than I.
Now, let me address the last part first. For the Father is greater than I. You just said they're equal. Yeah. He's speaking as a man. He's saying, as a man, the Father is greater than I. Mm-hmm. And don't forget, even in his position in the Godhead, the Father sent him.
Yes, sir.
So while he's equal to the Father is also greater than he. But he was speaking there as a man. Now, let's go back a little bit. You've heard me say to you that I'm going away and I will come back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I'm going. Why does he say that? He's saying, I know you all don't know this another who is like me. You don't know him, so maybe you have a little angst about that. But you should be happy knowing while I'm down here, I was in pain. I was acquainted with grief. I was a man of sorrows. I'm limited. I had to put off a lot of my heavenly attributes. You should be happy I'm getting these things back.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
All my suffering is about to be over. So he's saying, if you all really think about it, if you love me, my disciples, Jesus was saying, you all really should be happy. You would rejoice.
Yes,
and
sir.
You know my word is true. I said I'm sending you someone to take care of you. You have nothing to worry about. Don't you trust me yet, Philip? Have you been so long time with me yet? You don't know who I really am? For me to have been down here, it was 33 years of suffering. And we tend not to think of that because we are selfish human beings. And like Peter and the others said, stay here, Lord. Don't leave us, Lord. He says, don't worry. I got you covered. I'm sending another of the same kind. And I'll be with you. I can't lie. I said I'll be with you.
Yes, sir.
I promise never to leave you. The Lord is making it very clear here that you should be happy for him going away because he's going to the Father. My Father is greater than I. Now, I have told you these things before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. The Lord is saying, everything I just told you is going to happen.
Amen.
But now your faith should be encouraged, strengthened when it happens, because you're going to look back and say, he told us that. Now, if he told you that, and that's true, everything else he told you is true. Like, I'll never leave you. You have a peace in you you can't even imagine, unspeakable. And you have a joy, a resilience, of new vitality of life. Because I live, you shall live. There's a new excitement about living. We should all have this. In fact, those of us that grow progressively more intimate with the Lord, we do have it. And we seek it every day more and more. Let me come on now and conclude.
Verse 30, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me.
Now, you know what that means? I love that. He says, now, I'm not going to be with you much longer. I won't talk with you much longer here. For the ruler of this world, the prince of this world, is coming, and he's got nothing he holds on me.
Amen.
Nothing he can charge me with. If he did, he could have held me in death.
Yes, sir.
But he has nothing on me. This says nothing in me, ancient English, old English. He has nothing on me.
Amen.
I didn't sin, Jesus is saying. So Satan has nothing on me.
Amen.
So don't you all worry about it. I'm going away because Satan's coming to do his thing. Now, look at this. Not that Satan will end up the winner.
No, sir.
Look at this next verse. But the world may know that I love the Father.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go on and lay down my life because the Father told me to.
Yes, sir.
Do you see what he's saying? But look how he put it.
But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do.
Translation. All the world, so they can know that I love my Father, God. I'm going to be obedient to him.
Yes, sir.
He said Satan's coming, evil one's coming. But he's not winning when he has me killed, because I'm allowing it.
Amen.
The Father has decreed that I should die.
Yes, sir.
And he's using agents of Satan to do it. But so that the world may know how much I am obedient to the Father, I do everything he asks me. He said, go on down to earth and lay down your life. I'm going to show the whole world how much I love him by going to lay down my life. Satan's not winning here. I'm just being obedient here. That's what he's saying. He's saying that the Father, whatever he commands me, so I do. Then he says, come on, you all, let's get up and go on out of here.
Yes, sir.
Right? But I love the way he draws this conclusion. Understand something. I'm telling you now before it happens. I'm going to die. But I don't want you all to think that I lost this fight. Go read Hebrews 2:14. He defeated Satan.
Amen.
And he just said, Satan has no charge on me. He has nothing he can convict me of, nothing he can convince anyone that I've done anything wrong ever. And Satan is not stronger than I. In fact, if you will, I'm orchestrating my own death.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm being obedient to the Father. The Father said, son, in so many words, go down to earth and be an atonement, be a propitiation for my family that I want to bring with me. And just to show you that I love my Father so much, he's an obedient son. I do whatever he asks me. That's why I'm doing this cross thing.
Amen.
So the reason for Easter Sunday was that God the Father might collect unto himself through Jesus his own family members, which before time immemorial he ordained would be with him forever. God bless you all. Peace be unto you. Happy Easter Sunday. Happy Resurrection Day. God bless Jesus Christ. God bless you all.
The preceding program originated from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on Apostolic Square at 22nd and Bainbridge Streets. Bishop Omega, Apostle and General Overseer. Sunday worship begins at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Write to Bishop Omega at Post Office Box 3880, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19146. You may access the replay of this broadcast by dialing into Audio Now at 641-793-4507. That's 641-793-4507. On behalf of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, Bishop Omega wishes you the peace, love, and joy of Christ always.